Everyone agrees, bacon makes everything better. Even marketing. This is the Bacon Podcast, where you'll learn to cure your marketing.
And make your business sizzle. I can't believe I said that.
Internet marketing, online marketing, social media tips and techniques. Now, to help you bring more bacon home, the master of marketing sizzle, Brian Basilico. This is the Bacon Podcast.
Welcome, everybody. I'm your host, Brian Basilico, and this is the podcast where you learn to make your business sizzle online. So are you ready to fry up some new business? Hey, peeps, have you ever heard that song, Happy? Well, by the time we're done with this podcast, it's going to be like an earworm because I'm interviewing a really great coach. Her name is Joanna Brandy, and she is a positive leadership coach, but she's also very focused on your happiness. So, Joanna, how are you doing today?
I am well, thank you. How are you?
I'm fantastic. As a matter of fact, today is my birthday, and I take that day off to just go through Facebook and thank everybody personally to say thank you so that they know that I saw their message, because I'm not one of those people that just sends out a blanket message. I think it's really super important to appreciate people and their efforts to you, so that makes me happy. So I'm starting this off happy, so thank you.
Well, happy birthday, and what a beautiful, auspicious day. It's 1/11.
That's right.
Lovely numbers, yeah.
I love it. So why don't we start by getting to know you? I always like my audience to get to know your backstory so they can kind of see the path that you've taken. So tell us a little bit about your backstory or origin story.
Sure, I'd love to. I was in the corporate world working in New York, and for 12 years I was the director of direct marketing up at CMP Media in New York. And after about the 11th year, I started getting a little itchy, which I have a tendency to do. At that time, I was running, it was a division of the company, and I started feeling like I wanted to do something different. I wanted to do something that maybe had a little bit more meaning for me, but I didn't know what I wanted to do. I was given a lot of freedom up there. I was what was known as an intrapreneur, so I was running a business inside the business, and I think if there's one thing being an intrapreneur does is it makes you itchy to be an entrepreneur. So as I thought about it, I couldn't quite figure out what I wanted to do, so I did something that just felt natural to me. I called my customers, because they've been with me for a really long time, and I had great relationships with them. And I said, you know, I'm thinking of leaving this company. I don't want to stay in the same business, so would you tell me what you think I do best? And the strangest thing was that every single one of them said the same thing. They said, you take care of your customers better than anybody in the industry, and everybody's looking to get better than you. So if you could figure out a way to teach other people to take care of their customers, perhaps you'd have a business. And I was sassy and arrogant and raring to go, and so I said, wow, that sounds like a great idea. And off I went. I gave them plenty of notice, trained my successors and all that good stuff, and off I went to start a consulting company. Now, little did I know that it was harder than it appears. But as time went on, I began really thinking about, how is it I think about business? What is my thought process? What is my theory of business? And I began seeing business, and I think you'll appreciate this because you're a relationship guy, you're a relationship marketing guy. I began thinking of businesses in terms of relationships. There are three primary relationships that need to be in place in order for the business to stay balanced. And I literally started seeing three-legged configurations, a three-legged stool, a three-legged tripod. And I decided to identify with this idea of a tripod, and I called it the working relationship tripod. And each leg of the tripod represents a set of relationships. So one leg are the relationships that you have externally, you know, with your customers, with your suppliers, with your communities, with the families of the people that work for you, things like that. The other set of relationships are the internal relationships. Those are coworkers, those coworkers and bosses and anybody that works inside the company. And then there was another relationship, which I believed businesses didn't spend enough time nourishing, and that's the relationship that each individual had with themselves and their work. And that relationship, which I call the inner relationship, that relationship was really what was responsible for driving the other two. Because when somebody came to work and they felt good about work, when they felt good about being there, when they felt like there was some meaning to their work, when they felt important and special and all those kinds of things, they came to work with a different level of energy than someone who got up in the morning and said, oh, darn, I have to go to work today. So I started teaching something at the time I called the inner game of customer care, and I began developing workshops. At first I worked as a consultant, and then one of my clients said, do you know how to do workshops? And you know what you say when you're a new business owner. You say, yes, of course, what would you like? So before I knew it, I was developing workshops. I'd already started writing. Eventually I wrote my first book, which was called Winning at Customer Retention, 101 Ways to Keep Them Happy, Keep Them Loyal, and Keep Them Coming Back. And it just grew from there. So I began to get a reputation as someone that knew a lot about how to create customer experiences that kept the customers coming back. And then, about 12 years ago, positive psychology found me. Somebody sent me an email one day and said, I think you'd love this. Just take a look at it. Can't even remember who that person was. But the night after, Dr. Martin Seligman, who's known as the founding father of positive psychology, was giving a free class online. And I went to this free class. Actually, I think we were hooked up by phone. I went to this free class, and I got this, perhaps you know the feeling, I got this chill that went from one end of my body to the other as soon as he started talking. And something said, uh-oh. There's meaning here. And I signed up for his course to become what he called an authentic happiness coach. He had just written a book, Authentic Happiness, one of 20 some odd books that he's written. And he wanted to get a group of people around the world, and over 4 years he trained 850 of us to take his work, put it inside our work, and go out and teach it. So everything changed for me at that point. I was already on the right track, but the addition of learning that there was a whole science of happiness now really changed the level of my teaching, my writing, and, of course, my consulting.
So one of my favorite sayings is there's two kinds of people in the world, people that get up and say, good morning, God, and other people that get up and say, good God, it's morning.
You got it.
So, and one of the things, too, that I think is really uber important is millennials. Millennials are generally not work oriented. They tend to be task oriented. They tend to be focused on lifestyle and things like that. So what does, creating happiness in, obviously in your life, it's very important, but in your work life, what does that do for people? How does that affect them and create positive outcomes?
Well, it helps them get more engaged, because the millennials are searching for meaning. They want to find meaning in their work, which is very interesting, because the other group that is looking for meaning in their work are baby boomers, and I'm one of those. So we've got two groups that are sort of bookending the workforce right now for whom meaning is important. So when we take a look at how is it we can create a better work experience, how is it that we can give people what they need and so that they enjoy showing up? So they get up and say, good morning, God, I get to go to work today. I'm grateful. And I think that as we look at the millennial group, the one thing I hear, I work with Vistage, which is the world's largest CEO organization. So I am very frequently in groups of anywhere from 12 to 20, 22 or whatever CEOs. And I hear a lot about what they have to say about millennials. And the one thing I hear more often than not is they ask me this question, why do they need so much praise? And every time they ask me that question, I look at them and I say, do you have children? It doesn't take them long before they figure out the answer. They need so much praise because that's what they're used to getting. That generation especially had parents that watched over their every move, and when they did something good, they said, good job, Brian. Good job, Sally. Good job, Ashley. So if you're around people that have children today, listen really carefully, because what we are doing as we are constantly commenting on the quality of someone's actions is that we are priming them to be that way. So now they're in the workforce, and they do need more direction, and they do need more praise, and they do need more celebration of what they do well, because that's their way of calibrating whether or not they did a good job. So when we talk about, happiness is a big word, so I very quickly try to steer it more around to talking about positive emotion. When I talk about happiness, I'm not talking about some warm, fuzzy feeling. I'm talking about the experience of positive emotion in the human body. And happiness, it's not a vague state of mind. When you, anybody else is experiencing a positive emotion, there's a specific measurable physical state of the body. There's distinct brain activity, there's distinct heart rhythms, and there's a distinct body chemistry. So when we make the attempt to have, let's say, happier employees or more engaged employees or employees that enjoy being at work, we're actually putting their bodies and their brains into a position where there is tremendous physical and emotional benefit. For instance, when we're in the state of positive emotion, we're more creative, 3 to 10 times more creative because of something called the broaden and build response. So when you're experiencing a positive emotion, it literally takes the right hemisphere of your brain and the left hemisphere of your brain and has them communicate better together. So you've got a broader picture.
Wow, good stuff. So when it comes to happiness in your job, in the workplace, and all of those kind of things, what are some of the most common, you know, either fallacies or mistakes that you see people making? What are some of the mindset tricks that they need to kind of get over?
Well, I think the first thing they have to get over is the expression that I keep hearing is, that's what I'm paying them for. You may be paying them for high performance, but the only way that you're going to actually get high performance is if you use the high performance ratio of positivity to negativity. So the high performance ratio is 5 to 1. So what people need is actually 5 times more positivity than negativity. And here's what I hear in response to that. Well, if I tell them all the things that they're doing that are positive, won't they want more money? Which is the one that just blows my mind every time I hear it. Well, maybe, in fact, if they're doing so many things right and are helping you grow their company, maybe eventually over time, you need to give them more money. That happens as people do a better job.
Sure.
I think there's a lot of resistance because without understanding the science behind it, people think it's Pollyanna stuff. But there's literally science behind it that says when you get to the ratio of 3 to 1, it's kind of like a tipping point. You go from languishing to flourishing. But when you get up there to that high performance ratio of 5 to 1, when there's, you know, 5 times more acknowledgement and praise and recognition and compliments and focus on people's strengths rather than criticism and corrective actions or sarcasm or cynicism, when you get 5 times more of that, when you get 5 times more questions focused on what's strong and what's working rather than what's wrong, when you get 5 times more focus on what's right and what you want to create rather on what's broken and what needs to be fixed and the things you don't want, you get an entirely different level of performance because, it, as it turns out, what the scientists have finally discovered is that the human system works best when it's in a positive mode 3 to 5 times more than it is when it's in a negative mode, because it produces an entirely different set of chemicals. Every time you have a feeling, you're creating a chemical. So when you're feeling good, you know, when your boss just, you know, pointed out that you not only did the job well, you did the job well, and he or she is very specific about how you did the job well and how that contributed to the success of the team and how important you are, you walk away and you're feeling really, really good about yourself. And when you feel good about yourself, your body actually produces what I call the chemicals of calm, which it activates the parasympathetic nervous system, which helps you heal your body. It produces T cells. It makes you healthier. It makes you stronger. The amount of chemicals is amazing. Serotonin, dopamine, all this cascade of chemicals that are good for you. But if, in fact, you've done a good job, you've worked really hard, your boss comes in, doesn't say much about the job at all, maybe says attaboy or attagirl, but doesn't really comment on the job, or didn't give you expectations for how he or she wanted it done, and now comes in and tells you you did it wrong, what that does is that produces a whole different set of chemicals. And it puts our body into fight or flight, which is perfectly wonderful if you hear footsteps behind you in a dark garage at night, you know, to be in fight or flight. It's appropriate and you want to run like hell. But you don't want that happening at work. You don't want people to be in that state of fight or flight at work because it's producing too much of the stimulant chemicals. And after a couple of hours of being in that state, it actually breaks down the immune system. So if you are in a state of anger, you know, and we've all had it. Most of us entrepreneurs are entrepreneurs because at some level we didn't want to work for somebody else.
Yep.
And so, you know, if you've ever had the boss come in and, you know, after you worked your butt off on something and leave you with a derogatory remark and you get angry, well, if you stay angry for more than 5 minutes, your immune system shuts down for 6 to 8 hours.
Wow.
So, yeah, I got really turned on when I learned this was not poly, because I'm not a happy person by nature. 50% of your happiness is genetic. And I was wrong. I was born on the wrong side of the pie. I was not a happy child. I wasn't even a happy adult. But since I started practicing, and that's what it is. Happiness is a choice, and it's a practice, and it's a work ethic. And since I started practicing happiness and looking for things to appreciate and spending more time savoring the good stuff, I've become healthier. I've become happier, and I have a whole different view on life. And that's what happens to every human being, because we're all connected at that level. And we now know that physiologically, we're destined to operate best in a positive state.
Love it. So, Joanna, you have something that's going to help my audience get their arms around this a little better. Can you tell us a little about that?
Well, I've just developed a new e-course, and it's called The Practice of Positive Leadership, Using the Science of Happiness to Engage Your Employees and Keep Your Customers Happy. And that's a self-directed e-learning program. It's robust. It's got 10 units. But it takes you through a series of practices, positivity practices. It takes you through a series of practices and a little soul searching to help leaders understand who and how they want to be in the world. How do they want to lead? What do they want their legacy to be? And so that, I call those people positive energizers. So that you can get more information at positiveenergizer.com. And my home website is called returnonhappiness.com, because there is a return on happiness. And if readers wanted to go there and get a little special report, free special report, returnonhappiness.com/happyplace. We'll give them 12 different ways that you can make your workplace a happier place.
Awesome. So, Joanna, if people wanted to get a hold of you, what is the best way for them to do that?
Joanna at returnonhappiness.com.
Simple enough. So, Joanna, this has been a blast. You've made me happier already. I feel I'm just very happy. So, it's been a pleasure talking with you. I know I got a lot out of this. I'm sure my peeps are going to get a lot out of this. So, thanks again so much for your time and joining us.
I believe we can change the world positively one person at a time. And certainly when we are business leaders, wow, we can change the world positively many people at a time.
Well, that's it for today's Bacon Podcast. We hope you enjoyed it and learned something today. If you did, please go to iTunes and give us a review. We appreciate all your feedback and comments. If you have any questions, go to www.baconpodcast.com/questions, and we'll make sure we get those answered for you. Till next time, keep sizzling.